Harper, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, and Indiana Farm Systems. And if you're watching us online at HoosierlandTV.com, make sure you thank these sponsors: the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBike Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, and Slabby's Food and Freedom. Now we continue with Ag Day 2020, again with your host, Melissa Miller.
Welcome back to Ag Day. I'm Melissa Miller, Youth and Ag Specialist here at Casper Radio, WILO, Shine 99, all that good stuff, with my cohort and partner in crime.
Hello, this is Adam Shanks, your Clinton County Ag and Natural Resources agent.
Oh, you got the full name in there this time.
I figured I better try one time today to get it all in.
For all of us that are twice his age, you're extension agent.
Yep, that's right.
We want to thank our sponsors for letting us be here. Co-Alliance at Mulberry, Home National Bank with their offices at Thorntown, Lebanon, and Frankfort, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, Indiana Farm Systems, the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Wilson Farm Market, ProBytes Computer Sales and Services, and a shout-out to Ellis Jewelry for our special gifts for our guests and our catering for today's event from CNR Catering, and the food was fantastic. Well, Adam,
absolutely,
we got a big program. We're gonna end this on a big scale, right?
We better jump in. I'm afraid these guys will take half the time just doing the introductions.
That's true. I agree. We want to thank we have Austin Green from Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We also have Joe Roderick?
Rorick. Joe Rorick.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. I didn't want to screw that up, but I did anyway. From the Conservation Cropping Services Initiative. And we also have George Madison from AgriGold. Thank you, George, for being here. We want to thank all these guys for being here. And we got a big topic to talk about, kind of all aspects rounding up production ag.
Yes. So you want to start around and have these guys introduce themselves and maybe talk about what they do and how long they've been doing it?
Sounds good to me.
We'll start with in-house guests, I guess, Mr. Austin Green.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take it off. So basically, I work for Clinton County Soil and Water. So the Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District, I am the Resource Conservation Specialist. So anyway, so basically, I've been working there for about a year and a half now, and mainly my tasks include administering watershed management programs and conservation programs. So basically that involves developing and implementing the technical and financial aspects of these programs, which basically what they do is they encourage the adoption of best management practices by watershed landowners and land managers and operators. And as a part of these programs, we also host educational and outreach events such as field days, workshops, and stewardship events such as like the art contest that we had last year and cover crop field days and stuff like that. And then as of right now, we've got two 319 programs. We have the Brown's Wonder Sugar Creek, which we actually just got awarded in October of 2019, so that's a new one. We were awarded $260,000 in that. It'll be from 2019 to 2022. And then the South Fork of the Wildcat Creek, which is one that's been going on for 2 years, and this is our last year. And that one is, we were awarded $160,000. And basically these are to basically promote cover crops, grass waterways, filter ships, stuff like that.
Good environmental practices.
Right, right. And then we've also got, so those are watershed-based. So if you guys don't know, the South Fork Wildcat Creek watershed is kind of the middle portion of Clinton County, and the Brown's Wonder Sugar Creek is kind of the southeastern part of Clinton County. So that's where these two are. And then we also have different programs such as Clean Water Indiana, which is actually countywide. And then that is to promote the same things, you know, cover crops, transition to no-till, integrated crop management, and gypsum application. But basically, that stuff is all countywide. And then we also have Infield Advantage, which I believe, Adam, you talked a little bit on that.
A little bit this morning about some of the new opportunities. It's a little bit different this year versus having an autopsy. In the past years, it's more supposed to be more in-season. We're looking at economics and some things that we can still do in season, which involves soil testing, tissue sampling, aerial imagery, and then hopefully have some meetings in season to make some changes before it's postmortem.
Sure. Yeah, and that's one of their big pushes for these next 3 years is they got a conservation innovation grant from NRCS, a SIG grant, and then basically they've been pushing more towards, like you said, having that mid-season management or mid-season analysis and everything. So that's another big thing. And then I do a few other things, such as I kind of serve as the technical advisor for Clinton County Soil and Water Board, for the Board of Supervisors. And then we I provide conservation planning for landowners to implement these practices. We also do stormwater pollution prevention plans is what we review. And then I do construction site visits. So that's kind of the, I don't want to say boring, it still has its own important aspect of it, but it's more urban-based, I guess.
Okay.
Somewhat. And then basically the other things is landfill, biannual sediment and erosion control reviews, and then we do the tillage transect, which I thought we could work kind of perfectly into what we're going to talk about.
So Austin's a busy guy, a lot on his plate.
Yeah, multiple different hats.
Well, I guess we'll move on. We'll go alphabetical. If my alphabets are right, M before R. So I guess if George, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and maybe how long you've been doing it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, my name is George Madison. I work for AgriGold Hybrids. I work with growers all across Boone, Clinton, Carroll, and Howard County. AgriGold, a direct seed company covering this area. Have worked with AgriGold here for 3 years now. Again, working with growers all across that footprint.
And then we also have Joe Rorick from Conservation Cropping Services Initiative. Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do there?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Joe Rorick, and I'm the agronomist for the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. Our mission is to improve soil health on Indiana cropland. So we cover the whole state of Indiana, and we try to fulfill our mission by in a lot of different ways, by working with different local groups to help put on field days and educational events. I run a training program for Indiana Conservation Partnership employees to make sure they are up to speed on conservation topics. I am a certified crop advisor with sustainability and 4R nutrient management specialties. I suppose that's all. Not all is impressive as what Austin did, but maybe Austin's busier than I am.
No.
I suppose we can leave it at that.
You know, Joe's organization is a great partner, and we all work together to move this conservation needle forward, I hope. So.
Right, and I know on George's side of it, he gets to see the benefits and also works with his customers on helping them pick the right hybrids and everything to work right alongside all this. So I think for us, as trying to educate our listeners, I think we've got a really good discussion group here coming from different aspects of the production ag side of it. And hopefully we can educate our listeners a little more about, one, the benefits of cover crops and their soil health. You know, talking about the challenges, too, along with that of using cover crops, the challenges that the seed companies are coming up with growing the hybrids that can handle that extra not only the nutrients that are coming from the cover crops, but also the extra, I don't want to say trash, because that's not what it is.
Residue.
It's residue that's, yeah, thank you. The residue that's left by those that these hybrids have to deal with coming up. So, Adam, you want to start the discussion?
Sure. So I guess we'll jump in here, I guess, with George. If you wouldn't mind, give some of your thoughts and how you kind of look at farmers that are using cover crops. What are you seeing as far as hybrid adaptability, management adaptability? Are they having to modify their current equipment to work in this system as in the seed industry? What are you seeing? What are your thoughts? What advice are you giving out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to start off, one of the first questions, when I sit down with a customer to start planning, his hybrids or his cropping plan going into the following calendar year is, what changes are we going to make? Are we making any herbicide program changes, fertility, nutrient management, or one of those being cover crops? You know, picking the right hybrid, not only do we need something that has some strong agronomics behind it, but we need to pick a, probably a hybrid that has a great emergence score, something that's going to be able to get up out of the ground and get off to the races. I actually work with one grower in particular. He plants into standing rye, has the past few years. So making sure we find a hybrid that has a high emergence score and is ready to handle that situation is huge. As far as planter changes, his planter, for instance, here a couple years ago when we started down this path, we actually added a shark tooth row cleaner. What that is basically a set of row cleaners on the front of the planting unit itself that essentially have sharp teeth. And what those allow is to cut through that material, push it out of the way, allow that row unit of the planter to put that seed right where it needs to be at an accurate depth, and kind of help that seed get off to a good start and get off to the race.
Perfect. What about, and Austin and Joe, feel free to chime in, what about changes in herbicide programs, fertility programs, timing of applications? Do those have to be modified for guys that are working into cover crop situations?
To start off, yes, those can all be factors. It all depends on what level a customer is getting involved in cover crops, in my opinion. I am not a cover crop expert, nor do I claim to be, but I've got a few guys who are starting to dip their toes in. Maybe they just do a couple fields, and they're tweaking their practices on those fields. If you're a pre-plant, maybe you're going to a no-till or a minimal disturbance type tool, whether you're going to burn off that crop or you're going to plant into it. Mm-hmm. I know some livestock guys even cut and bale that off. So you've got a lot of other factors in play that you have to decide what direction you're going to go first.
Perfect.
I totally agree with that. And actually, even a half a step backwards before making any changes is taking a serious evaluation with what equipment you do have and how you might work, and then stepping through your plan, plan A, plan B for planting, for termination, for all of these things. Equipment you do have, if you're not looking at adding anything else at this point, making sure your row cleaners are running right, making sure your slot openers are straight and within all the tolerances and sharp. I totally agree with you, George. You need a hybrid that's got good early season vigor, usually. We do see some growers that move to a shorter season corn or an earlier group bean in order to be able to establish cover crops in a more timely fashion in the fall. It's a challenge. It can be a challenge, but biggest step is evaluating where you're at and what you think you might want to accomplish, and then taking steps towards accomplishing that a little bit at a time and getting comfortable with them along the way.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is, if you don't already have the equipment needed to do no-till or, to do cover crops, we actually, through my 319 programs, the watershed programs that the district has, we actually can provide some cost share for basically upgrading or adapting to those sorts of things. So if you're going to, say, I use this a lot, but if you want to, modify a Hagee, for example, in order to broadcast cover crops over, then you can come in, fill out a proposal, and kind of talk with us and possibly, be able to apply for some funding to get that kind of equipment. So.
Perfect. So, as you guys wouldn't mind, we'll chime in as you can, but for listeners, we keep talking about cover crops, touch on some of the benefits of cover crops as far as soil health, properties, nutrient cycle. Give some input on what these things are doing out there that we're seeing. Joe, Austin.
Sure.
Go ahead, Joe.
So when we're thinking cover crop benefits, one of the immediate ones you see is that soil is covered. So if you have an erosion issue in a field or parts of field, if you can get a cover crop in there pretty early on, you're going to start seeing that erosion decrease, right? And this doesn't have to be a cover crop on every single acre that you've got. But if you've got spots and fields that you know you get washes, that could be a great opportunity to get probably a grass-type cover crop in there to help reduce that erosion. And then maybe you don't need to take a pass with a piece of tillage equipment in the spring to fill in those gullies and those washes. So that's a really early one that you see. Across whole fields, in the short term, you start seeing aggregate stability increases so that that soil is able to hold together a little better. So you'll start to see water infiltration improve. You'll start to see erosion decrease. You'll start to see less raindrop impact, splash and mud all over your plant, those sorts of things.
Yeah, so cover crops typically planted in the fall. And like Joe said, you know, not only do they provide soil health benefits, but they also filter a lot of that water before it goes into the water. But basically, based off of our tillage transect, which I kind of alluded to earlier, we have what we call a Region 5 model, and it kind of estimates the load reduction is what we call it, but the sediment, phosphorus, nitrogen that's running off of the field into the water. But it provides, cover crops provide a benefit to water quality, you know, the environmental benefit. And basically, based off of the 2018 values, basically there's an estimated 1.3 million tons of sediment that were kept out of Indiana's waterways, along with 3.2 million pounds of nitrogen and 1.6 million pounds of phosphorus. And this is all based off of the sediment-based, you know, nutrients that are going into the water. Not necessarily the dissolvable ones, but yeah, so not only do cover crops have a soil health benefit, but they also have a water quality benefit as well.
And I'm going to kind of direct this towards George along those same lines. What are you seeing with your customers, with your producers that you're out there working with? And I know some of the producers that you've worked with have done cover crops for 2 or 3 years now. What are you seeing some of the advantages and disadvantages that they're experiencing as they try to bring in that spring and plant that spring crop?
Well, right off the bat, we've already talked a little bit already about the residue management, making sure we have the right equipment to make that happen. But as far as benefits, I've got some guys who have been in a no-till situation, obviously, for a long time. And in a true no-till, you're going to have compaction, especially with two very long, drawn-out wet falls. That creates compaction issues, especially on end rows, where heavy machinery is being turned around, semis are being parked, etc. So incorporating a cover crop that can help with some of your compaction issues in those no-till environments, it can be huge for plant growth and plant development.
So, yeah, definitely breaking up that compaction is going to be critical. Well, along those lines, can you guys speak to maybe the economics of improved soil health, soil tilth, breaking up that compaction using cover crops versus passing it with tillage and fuel and all that? Is there any, do you guys have any thoughts on the economic side of it?
I do. So, first of all, the economics can be tricky to do. So that's why you don't hear a lot about cover crop and soil health economics. But there are some things that we see. So Ohio State, some folks over in Ohio have done some work on cover crops versus deep tillage to break up compaction. And what they see is that cover crops are better able, not as quickly, of course. I mean, if you're going to make a ripper pass through a field, that's pretty fast, right? But if you use some of these deep-rooted cover crops, they're able to hold that soil open for longer and be more effective than deep ripping. And I haven't looked at the custom rates from Purdue recently, but maybe you guys can tell me what a custom rate for a deep ripping pass would be. My hunch is it's probably maybe $15 an acre.
I think, yeah, 13 to 15 the last time I looked.
So if you're not having to do that, right there is $13 to $15 an acre you're not having to spend. And then along with that, with the cover crop, you're getting nutrients that are taken up and held in that field and carried over and available when those plants break down. You're getting some residue to help hold that soil in place. So maybe you're not making extra tillage passes to try to fill in erosion, or maybe you're able to move a tillage pass from the fall to the spring, so you're not worried about getting interrupted harvest to try to get your fall tillage done. So our farmers report to us that we do have farmers that see some yield increases. There are studies out there that document yield decreases with cover crops. There are things that can go wrong, and you have to be careful. But what our farmers do report to us more consistently is they see their yield stability. They see their yield stabilized over time. So through consistent use of cover crops and increasing their soil health management, they're able to more accurately anticipate what their yields might be, and then they can market based off of a more confident number as well.
And they're helping stabilize their soil livestock or the microbes in the soil, which help with nutrient availability. Every time a tillage pass goes over, you wipe out a large population of those. So, you know, leaving those in a healthy soil system, definitely could see some economic value there with the yield consistency and keeping your soil livestock fed. Austin, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, and I was going to add that, I feel like the focus a lot is on yield, and I would kind of want to focus as well on, you know, the fact that you have a decrease in expenses, you know, the overall decrease in cost. And not only that, but we also have cost share programs through, you know, NRCS with the SIG grant, or not the SIG grant, EQIP, and then also, you know, we've got the 319 grants, Clean Water Indiana, and this is not just our county. Like, we have a variety of different programs in different counties. So, you know, just go to your local SWCD and kind of talk with them and talk with NRCS and kind of see what's available in your area to help, you know, cover that implementation, whether it be the application of the cover crops and or the seed cost, depending on the program. And then as far as kind of evaluating the infield advantage economics, or the economics of, you know, planting these cover crops. So Infield Advantage, as I mentioned earlier, has that Conservation Innovation Grant, the SIG grant. And through that, they're doing nutrient management, tillage, and cover crop trials. So basically, you take a 40-acre field, and then you split it in half, and one half you do your existing management, and then in the other half, you know, at 20 acres, you'll do the cover crops, and they'll even pay for the seed. And then basically through that, they do they have agronomic benchmarking tools like TruTerra. You're working along series solutions. We're going to have Purdue Extension, you know, flying the drone, talking about the different things that are going on in the field, and you'll have that mid-season meeting, and you get to watch throughout the year kind of how these cover crops or how this nutrient management or tillage practices, how it's actually changing your field over time. And that'll be a three-year program, so if you guys, you know, want any information on that, just come to the local SWCD and come talk with us. So.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to George a little bit about the agronomic side of it from his aspects and the adaptability of today's hybrids to handle these different growing conditions. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break from Ag Day here on WILO, and we'll be right back.
It's harvest time, and you've got days, not weeks, to get your grain out of the field and safely stored. That's why Brock Grain Systems are built to deliver day-to-day reliability and long-